Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Well, hey, everyone. Hey, and welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. It is Wednesday, midweek, 4/18/2012, 12 p.m. here in the beautiful, gorgeous San Diego, Los Angeles, 3 p.m. Atlanta. Live chat, BillGrowAndEnjoy.com. Be sure to sign up, you guys. You can follow all that's happening with Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Membership is free. And as always, the lines are open, 347-215-8709. And just like I just said, it is just absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous day, not only weather-wise here in Southern Cal, but also to receive some great tips financially to the path of success. And she's here. It's that time. You guys have seen all the announcements. You guys are looking at the schedule. You guys are waiting. And here she is, working diva, Debbie Snelling, with your monthly Snelling Report. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Hey, Kalithia, glad to be back on, glad to talk to you.
Well, you know, Debbie, you know, tax season is sealed and delivered as of, you know, April 17th, but you know, there's always us extensioners, not sure if that's a word, but, you know, there's the ones that need the extension and, you know, there's things that happen after, you know, the deadline. So what do you have to share with us with the monthly report for April?
Well, there are, frankly, a number of things. I'm so glad that the worst of it's behind me. I went to bed last night at 7 o'clock p.m., and I was out. So just delighted by that. But if you've extended, there are a number of things to be aware of. One of those things is that you still have to file and pay your taxes. You don't get out of it just because you extended. You've got estimated tax payments that you need to make. And you've got tax planning to do for the coming year. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You should be. I had a client who gave me a stack of paperwork, and I went, oh, my gosh, we can't keep doing it this way. I have to start doing your work every month. That's a good thing. That means that she's grown and got successful enough that she's got too much stuff, and she needs to get meaningful financial information on a more regular basis, and I just can't sit down during tax season and you know, go organize her paperwork for her. One of the things this year that I've been encouraging people to take advantage of is the home office deduction. So if you've extended, that's still an option available to you. If you are renting your home, there is no reason for you not to take advantage of the home office deduction. I think we talked about this last month, maybe the month before. But the home office deduction, the rule is that if you use your home exclusively and regularly, and not your whole home, some portion of your home exclusively and regularly as a place of business, whether it's because you meet with patients or clients or customers, which I don't. What I do in my office in my home is all of my administrative work as well as, frankly, a great deal of my actual accounting and tax work. So if you use it for administrative purposes and you use it regularly and you use a section of it exclusively, then you're eligible to take office and home deduction. This is what we spoke about last month. That means that you can have an office and home deduction for your home where you live. You can have an office and home deduction for your home where you vacation, if you have a place that you use exclusively for it. If, like you, you're bi-coastal, you can have an office and home in each of your dualities.
Dualities is exactly what it is. Wow.
So it depends generally on the percentage of your home that you use for your business. Now, I started out by saying if you rent, then you should definitely do this. If you own your home, then you may want to consider what the back-end consequences are. Right now, under current tax law scheduled to expire at the end of 2012, Bush tax cuts, if you sell your home and you have profits of $250,000 or less, that's tax-free money, unless you've claimed office and home. And then the percentage that you claimed as office and home becomes a taxable percentage on the sale of your home. So you've got to consider, you know, not just, hey, what benefit am I going to get today, but, you know, where is it going to bite me tomorrow? And do I need to be aware of the tomorrow? So if you're in a house where you're upside down, I've spoken to people who are way upside down in their homes, take office and home deduction. Now you take some of that non-deductible loss and you make it so that you can deduct some of the loss when you sell it. Use the rules in both directions. Don't just let them bite you in the behind. Catch them and pull their tail. Have I lost you? I can't hear anything anymore.
Are you there, Debbie? I had lost you. I lost you for a second.
I had to hang up on you and call back. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Blog Talk drops like that sometimes. A lot of the hosts have been having an issue. I guess they're fixing it, but it dropped again. Now, my question was, I was going to have before the inconvenience, but I have a question in chat, and they are asking, for those that did not file their taxes on time, you know, now it's after the cutoff, what steps do they need to take and successfully getting their taxes, you know, filed as needed and just make sure that there's not huge penalties towards them in doing so?
Well, if you filed for an extension, then you've avoided the worst of the penalties. There is a penalty for failure to timely file and a separate penalty for failure to timely pay. So if you filed an extension, then you can avoid one of those penalties. If you didn't file an extension and you do a refund, no penalty anyway, because the penalty is based upon how much tax that you owe. So if they owe you money, then there's no penalty. There are some exceptions. So what I'm talking about now is your individual return. If you have an S corporation or a partnership return, which would have been due in either March or April, and that those are returns where the income flows through to your members or your shareholders or your partners. If you have a partnership or an S corporation return, there is a penalty, and I always forget. I want to say it's $100 per month per person. So if I have 10 people who are members or partners in my corporation, LLC, whatever, then my penalty is $100 per month per person. So $100 times 10 people is $1,000 per month.
Right.
So they've made it very painful if you don't file your partnership or your S corporation tax return on time. So if you haven't filed those, call us. Get it filed. Even if you do owe money, stop the tolling of the penalties. Get it done. Get it filed. You can always work out a payment plan. As a general rule of thumb, and nothing is written in stone, as a rule of thumb, if you offer to pay them over a 12-month period, they're gonna accept it without batting an eye. If you need to go longer than that, then they'll think about it for a minute. But if you offer to pay them over a 12-month period, they're pretty much going to say, okie dokie, give us your money.
Right. They're not going to say no to that. And then what is that, there's a an automatic six-month extension. What does it bring that filing date to?
Well, it brings the filing date. If your due date was August and April, 4 is April, then extend your due date to October 15th. Now, there's a different extension for different types of returns. Some returns get a 5-month extension. Partnership returns generally get a 5-month extension. S corporations get a 6-month extension, but it's 6 months from June. C corporations get six months from March. So S corporations would be due in September. Partnerships would be due in September. C corporations would be due in September. Individual returns would be due in October. Remember also that your nonprofit has to file a tax return. And if you're a calendar year nonprofit, it's due. Your due date is May 15th. If you don't file that tax return for 3 years running, the IRS automatically takes away your nonprofit status.
Wow. Ooh,
yeah.
That's a big one. And
that's a big takeaway.
To get that, and it's costly to even get it. So
it's
you guys
costly.
Have it.
It's time-consuming. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I know I'm looking at the newsletter, just getting into some more April, information on this newsletter. Trying to scroll up here.
I
know
need
you
to
have
mention
something that 10 facts. About the mortgage debt forgiveness.
Exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Perfect. That's perfect bang for me. I've got a client who filed for bankruptcy protection, and her attorney told her that it was all tax-free income. What's the big deal? Well, what's the big deal is that it's not all tax-free income. So as a rule of thumb, it's taxable income. But there are some exceptions, and I actually read an article where they surveyed tax accountants, and they said, what makes doing taxes so hard? And the answer was the exception to the exception. There's always an exception to every rule, and most rules have an exception to the exception that makes the exception go away, huh?
Right. Always a gray area, right?
Yeah, everything's gray in the tax world. So as a rule of thumb, if you owe somebody money and you don't pay it, it becomes a taxable event. The reason for that is because you effectively have received, when you got a loan, they gave you the money and you kept it. So unless you call it a gift, it becomes taxable income. And that creates a taxable loss for them unless it was personal, exception to the exception to the exception.
Right.
So if you have under current tax law scheduled to expire at the end of 2012,
right.
You can exclude up to $2 million of debt on your personal residence. The limit, if you're married filing separately, is $1 million, so the $2 million cut in half, $1 million. You can exclude debt through your mortgage restructuring as well as mortgage debt in a foreclosure. So if you went to the bank and got them to write down your debt, as opposed to writing off your debt, foreclosing on you, both of those, if it's your personal residence, up to $2 million may be tax-free. Because it's your personal residence, you'll have had to have used it to buy, build, or improve your principal residence. And I also want to back up. I'm sorry, and this isn't really in the newsletter, but one of the exceptions to your debt being not taxable, or the exception to it being taxable, is that you're insolvent, and that's what I've had to go back and say, hey, I need all the bankruptcy schedules that you gave to the court. So
right.
It's complex tax law. It's hard. People always are surprised. You know, the whole point of bankruptcy is that you're supposed to get a clean slate, except for the government. So
Right. Yeah, we know that.
Exactly.
That is really good information, and of course, everyone go on the SnellingReport.com for more information because you have the 10 facts on there. I'm sure a lot of people is not aware of this. Some of the things I'm not aware of, and God knows I'm like the research queen, but this has actually opened my eyes to a few things.
For my client, she got $50,000 of canceled income from the credit cards. She's still in bankruptcy, but the credit cards have already written it off. So her attorney had said it was going to be tax-free money, and I was like, yeah, no, sorry. So she'll be eligible for one of the exceptions, so it will be tax-free money, but we have to jump through all the hoops and dot all the I's and cross all the T's and cross our I's because it's tax law to make it happen.
Right. Right, and that's why we need people like you. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to continue talking on some of the other stuff that you have going on, like some of the tax consequences if you lost your job, and then some spring cleaning, talk about how people can prep themselves going into this, for 2013. As you said, people just come in with piles of paperwork, and, maybe you need to get them on a monthly system to keep them in order so they're not coming at you at the last minute and overworking you. to, you know, get them back on track. But that's something that I think a lot of people need to know coming from your expertise. So we'll be right back when I take a quick break.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And welcome back. Welcome back, Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. I'm speaking with CEO of the Snelling Report with your monthly Snelling Report tax and financial tips to get you on the path of success. Lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709. And as always, buildgrowandenjoy.com. Live chat. Send your questions to me. Tell me what's on your mind. You can even call in. Talk to Debbie directly. I know you guys need a lot of advice from her. Especially in these times. So, Debbie, lost your job, there could be tax consequences. I know a lot of people have questions on this, so let us have it.
Well, and some of the tax consequences are good things. Some are bad. People are always are surprised that unemployment compensation is taxable income, and I agree with them. I think it's a jip. The whole point of unemployment compensation is that you're being you're getting just enough to survive. You're not getting enough to save, or you're not getting enough to do anything, and sometimes you're not even getting enough to survive. But still, it's a taxable event. Why? I don't know. I think it's bad public policy. But the short answer is because it's the law. That's why.
Right.
So the upside, though, if you've lost your job and you're able to itemize deductions, is that many of the things that you spend money on to try to find another job are tax deductible. So things like travel, getting your resume prepared, if you go to a career coach, if you go for if you go to an outplacement agency, if you move and then your new job is 50 miles or more away from your current job / home, then all of those things may be tax deductible. But again, you have to be able to itemize in order to do that. So, but it's, you know, it's a big thing. I mean, you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars. If somebody helps you print your resume, if you go to the copy center and you make copies, you buy reams of paper to print your resumes out. There was a lady here in Georgia. You may have seen her on the news. I think it was in December around Christmas time. She put out, for her Christmas lights, she put up a big sign that said, "Need a job."
Oh, that is cool. I missed that one. I that's a good one.
Yeah. And so
one. That's the question.
And it got her on the news. I mean, you know, so what better advertising than I put it on? So, but that, you know, then that the cost of making that sign became tax deductible. So, there's a lot to
it. Are you serious, Debbie?
I'm serious. I promise you.
Well, I need to get one of those signed up.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I've seen people who I saw one person who put a billboard that they needed a job, but the lady putting out the Christmas lights was brilliant. Got her on all the local news.
Wow, that's very unique. Stepping out the box. Stepping out the box. That's what it's all about. Now, you also have on here, I'm not sure. I had the call actually dropped. I'm kind of punching back in here again. I'm gonna have to see what's going on with Blog Talk. But I'm not sure if you had spoke on it while I dropped out. But question you have or question is, what if my employer went out of business or into bankruptcy? How can that be a tax consequence towards an individual?
Often what happens then is that, especially when you get people who are trying to file their taxes and pull their documents together at the last minute, the employer's gone out of business or they filed for bankruptcy protection and there's nobody around to get a copy of your W-2 from. So you can go back to your last pay stub if you kept that. as a last resort, you can contact the IRS and they can help by providing you with a copy of what the employer filed with them, if in fact the employer did file with them. So keep your documents, you know, that's always the accounting and tax rule. A lawyer told me you blank accountants keep too many pieces of paper. but that's
right.
What we do. You know, it's the pieces of paper, it's the documentation. Those are all the things that you need to survive audit or to survive, you know, whatever may happen.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if your employer liquidated your 401k plan, I've got a client for whom we're doing that. We're liquidating his pension plan. If they give you a payout or offer you a payout, you have 60 days to roll it over into another qualified plan, emphasis on qualified plan, your new employer's 401k or an IRA. If you don't roll it over into one of those vehicles, then you're going to have to pay a penalty of 10% of what you got, plus income tax in whatever your tax bracket is. And often a big payout will bump you into a higher tax bracket, so it's very punitive. Roll it over into something. The easiest thing to do is what's known as a trustee-to-trustee transfer, where they just send it from old retirement management company to, you know, new retirement management company, old plan to new plan, and you never touch the money, and that's the safest of all ways to do it.
And just going right into, since you, you know, you mentioned the pieces of paper, we never know what to keep. I mean, sometimes, you know, when I'm going to lunch with clients, it can be the little coffee, and I'm just like, I really need to keep this stuff, you know. But spring is here, you know, tax season is fresh, started, you know, as of January, and now, you know, everyone's finished with, you know, last year taxes. 3-year rule, checklist, what docs to keep, where do they start?
That's a good question. Where you start is with what's known as the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations is it says that the government has generally 3 years after you file your return to come audit you. It's like getting married. Speak now or forever hold your peace. They have 3 years to speak now or forever hold their peace. But you have to be able to prove that you filed the return. So even though you can throw away all of the supporting documentation that went with it, you have to keep a copy of your tax return forever. That's always bust people up. What do you mean I got to keep it forever? It's just your tax return. You can scan it. You can make a PDF copy of it. You can keep it in any form, any way, shape, or form, but you got to prove that you filed the tax return. And that means that you may want to keep the proof of payment as well.
Right.
So,
and you have a check of 6 documents, capital gains and losses that should be held on to, expenses on your home, business records, employment, bank, broker statements, tax returns, Social Security records, which is all
basically, if it went on your tax return, you got to keep it. And, you know, of course, there are exceptions to the exceptions to the exceptions. If the IRS thinks that you filed a fraudulent tax return, they have, I believe, up to 7 years to audit. It may be there are other situations where they have up to 10 years to audit. So the rule of thumb is file a proper, appropriate tax return, file it on time. If you can't file it on time, at least file it within 3 years of when it was due. So if you're due a refund, you can still get your money, because the speak now or forever will hold your peace also applies to you. If you don't file within 3 years of the due date, including extensions, if you filed an extension, then you lose your money forever. And the government
exactly.
says, thank you very much, and spends it. Or actually,
exactly.
they already spent it.
Right. It's best to do it right the first time so you don't have to be wasting time to backtrack, because that time can be used to go, you know, further yourself and empower yourself instead of trying to take the shortcut. You know, there's a lot of people out there trying to take the shortcut. There is no shortcut with the IRS. Right.
No shortcuts. I just had a conversation with another practitioner the other day where he reminded me that if you back up your records using, you know, like, for instance, the QuickBooks backup where they offer online backup, the IRS can subpoena them and get copies of your records. So you want to be careful about where your backup copies are stored. It's a good thing to store them off-site, but store them off-site with your accountant or your tax preparer, not a generic place where if it got subpoenaed, you wouldn't know about it.
Right, right. Well, Debbie, let everyone know how they can contact you.
Well, I was just thinking that we've gone this whole time. We've had so much information. We didn't even say anything about how to reach me or you. I can be reached by phone at 404-944-3172. We've got our new website up, which is a new corporate site. We're really excited about it. It's TSRTAX.com. That stands for The Snelling Report, which is the name of our newsletter. So TSRTAX, the second part, tax, because we do a lot of tax work. So TSRTAX.com. My email now is Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at TSRTAX.com. Of course, the old one still works, TSRTAX@gmail.com. But we can reach, and if push comes to shove, find me on Facebook or just do a search for Debbie Snelling. I was telling somebody the other day, I had somebody who claims they couldn't reach me, and I went, but I'm all over the Internet. If you can't reach me, you're really not trying.
Right. Or all in one, they can go to BillGrowandEnjoy.com, guest contact group, all your information is on there. And they can just, and you're a member, they can email you, they can IM you, whatever they want on Bill Grown and Joy. Trust me, Debbie, they know you here on Bill Grown and Joy. They look forward to you coming on the air and sharing your expertise. I get so much feedback when you're on the air, so that's why it's just absolutely a pleasure for you to take the time monthly and come on and share these great tips, you know, and financial advice with your expertise, because there's so many people out there, this is where they need to be. And, you know, it's just a pleasure to have you working, Diva. You know, I love to say working, Diva, with all the ladies that come on the air, but I got to share something with you. Lately, I've been getting a lot of feedback from the men saying, well, what's up with the working divas? What about us? I'm like, well, just put an O on the end, working Devo, and they love it. They're like, okay, well, but I'm like, hey, the information is for everyone, but hey, I'm a lady, you know, we have a lot of ladies that come on the air, you know, we're working divas, don't hate, but as always, Debbie, you are a working diva. Thank you for coming on the air. We look forward to you coming on the air next month with the Snelling Report. And just know that, you know, your information is on Bill Grown and Joy. You can send people there. They can go right into guest contact and get everything about you on there, because we love you here.
Oh, and I love being here. I love being part of it and part of all that you do.
Thank you. Well, you have a great, great week. Continued blessings. And I'll be talking to you soon, but stay dry.
Excellent. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And there you guys have it, your monthly Snelling Report, Working Diva, CEO, Miss Debbie Snelling. Get on over to SnellingReport.com. More information, as always, BillGrownEnjoy.com also. And that's going to conclude our show today, everyone. Thanks again for joining the ride of financial literacy, taking the steps to empower your lives. Thrive, everyone. That is the key. I will speak to you all back on Monday. Another great show and a story to be told by the one and only prophetess, Joanne Brown. She will be on the air to discuss her latest release book, Set Up by God, and what a book it is. So, everyone, have a great day, great week. To all of you, continued blessings, and make sure you always enjoy.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things, positive actions lead to positive results. Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me.